So, actually, the title I should have edited. I will correct it later. It should be Fairness and Extensions of CTL. Fairness and CTL star, we will see soon why. Okay, this is going to be a problem. If it repeats in one more slide, I will try to adjust the projector again. On here. Why is it cut off? How does it even communicate with exit the screen again. And the screen. No. No. Maybe this is actually too big a slide, sorry. Well, fortunately, we have introduced this definition last time, but I will then say that out. Okay, at least I know that there is nothing wrong with the full screen mode itself. So last time we discussed several types of fairness constraints that one may be interested in expressing in CTL. Strong fairness, weak fairness, and unconditional fairness. Actually, the last one is easiest. It's just of the form psi occurs infinitely often on the path. Right? In slightly more general setup, you could also allow conjunctions of conditions of this form. So we can say that we want the path where psi 1 occurs infinitely often and psi 2 occurs infinitely often. Notice, of course, that this is not the same thing as so GF psi 1 and GF psi 2 are not equivalent to GF psi 1 and psi 2. Why? Is it clear that they are not equivalent? I should have actually stated it as a quiz. Are they equivalent or not? But now that you've already got the answer. So, what we could always do is to pull this G out of in front of the conjunction, because G being universal quantifier like, remember that G means for all points on the path. So now we are in LTL, by the way, not in CTL. But today, later, I will introduce a setup where you can write both path and state formulas on the same footing. So you can always distribute box-like or universal quantifier-like formulas over. Sorry, this is psi, not phi. Over conjunctions. So this thing is equivalent to this, indeed. But F is not universal-like or box-like. F is existential type of modality or operator, like diamonds in modal logic. So it is saying somewhere in the path psi 1 holds. And this says somewhere in the path psi 2 holds. So, of course, this is very different than saying that we have a point on the path where psi 1 and psi 2 hold. Again, trivial example. Busy waiting. Busy. Okay, let's add one more thing. Ready, waiting, busy. And at each of these states, let's say nothing else, no other atoms is true apart from those that I explicitly wrote. So at each of these states, at most one atom is true. And clearly we can produce in this way a path where we have busy occurring infinitely often. So we have GFPZ. And we have, so maybe in order to make it more symmetric, I should have said ready here, so it's clearer that we have a repeating pattern. And we have GF waiting. So let's say that BZ is true at those points which have indices where division which are equal to 2 modulo 3, and weighting is true, holds at those points which are equal to 1 modulo 3. So we have infinitely many times our system is waiting, and infinitely many times it gets busy, but it doesn't mean that there is even a single state ever where it is at the same time, in the same, simultaneously, both waiting and busy. So these are very different formulas, and this one is much easier to satisfy than this. It can very well happen, just like in this example, that you have a system where this thing is true everywhere, and this thing is true nowhere. A path, sorry, where this thing is true nowhere, and this thing is true everywhere. This is clear, right? And this is very easy transformation if you have played with any flavor of modal logic, either the one that you see in Anton's web or the one that you see in Daniel Corin's lecture or algebraic logic seminar or what else, but these are precisely the type of transformations that are going to be important or useful for us today. So that's one thing. And we have, and these are probably the most commonly considered fairness conditions, even without this conjunction here, so the most trivial one. In fact, if I remember correctly, in USMV, this is the only type of the only thing that you can write. So, writing fairness in USMV amounts just to saying this GF psi. In general, if you look, for example, at handbook of model checking or other massive references or standard papers, there are also reasons to look at more sophisticated fairness conditions, and it is not even that hard to adjust model checking algorithm also to make sure that those fairness conditions are satisfied too. So one of them is strong fairness, which would say if you have on our path GF phi, then you have on our path GF psi. I think that I already started saying what it actually means last time. Do we remember that? Or can anybody recall what that, or just looking at this formula, what does it say? Yes? Exactly. And this weak fairness? So what, okay, so actually it means that if something happens then psi I, or let's say forget even about this conjunction and those I's, let's just look at phi and psi. So if something happens, then psi occurs infinitely open and above. What does this thing mean, this combination, FG in LTL?
point from which I'm entirely focused forever?
Yes. So another way of saying this is that there is a suffix of the path, so you can always, wherever you are at any concrete point in the path, it divides the path into prefix, finite word, or finite sequence of states before it, and suffix, which are all the states following it, which is always infinite. So saying that FG phi means simply that our path has a suffix where phi is true everywhere, where G phi holds. Whereas, by the way, you can also state the clause for GF in terms of those suffixes. It means that psi appears in every suffix. Or no matter how far off you cut off your path, you will be always able to find psi in this in the remaining part of it. Right, so at the beginning, Mary is often complaining that this GAUX combinations are very confusing, but I think that after a few minutes of studying at it and playing around with it, it's beginning to be a bit clearer what those things are saying. Right, so, and now this slide is a bit redundant, we already worked it out. So, as I said, or as we said, GF phi holds if we have phi on infinitely many points, GF phi implies GF psi, so that was the strong fairness condition holds if it is not the case that phi holds on infinitely many points, and yet phi holds on infinitely many points. That's another way of reformulating what I think Marilyn you said, right? So you phrase it in more directly, saying that if phi holds on infinitely many points, then psi holds on infinitely many points. But of course, this is Boolean implication. You can as well state it as not phi and not psi. This is the kind of transformation that you have seen in Gloin, probably, or whichever other course where you've done some propositional logic. And we could reformulate in the same way weak fairness by saying that it is not the case that phi holds on some suffix of phi, and yet psi holds on infinitely many points. So now we can, in the most general sense of fairness constraints, we can have all three types of these conditions joined by conjunction, and then and this is what our fairness condition C is, and a path is C fair if it satisfies all the conjuncts of C, and again we can reuse our old notation with capital P or path S, now with subscript C, and now this means that we are only looking at the set of all C fair paths starting at S. Okay, so now let's, now that we have this restricted set of paths to the set of fair paths, or C fair paths, but I will drop this C not to be even more unclear with my accent and pronunciation, or having simply less to say. So now we can relativize the quantifiers to paths satisfying to the fair paths. So instead of saying that A, U, E, U, E, X, A, X, E, F, A, F, E, G, A, G, that is such and such path, such and such constraints, such and such path formula holds for all paths starting at our given state S. We say that, for example, the most trivial one, E, this E, C, X, phi, holds at our state S if there exists a path phi, not just any path, but a fair path PC, so a member of this capital PC of S, such that phi holds on the next point of this path. Similarly, the clause for until is almost the same as before, just with the relativization of this path quantifier. For both EU and EU, they are the same as they used to be before with exist and for all correspondingly. But now, instead of saying looking for all paths starting at S or some paths starting at S, we're looking at all fair paths starting at S, or looking for existence of a fair path starting at S. Is it clear? Well, at least the definition should be understandable, and now we should see how concrete formulas look like when you write it with these monstrous subscripts. So let's start with simplest unconditional fairness condition. At infinitely many points, it is not true that you are idle. So if busy is negation of idle, you are busy infinitely many times in future. So now we can write path quantifier with the simple fairness constraints, A, G, F, not idle, G, phi in ordinary CTL. Well, actually, we can write it in our FCTL, CTL simple fairness constraint. How would you express it in ordinary CTL? So you can, of course, express it in LTL. Actually, I should have said instead GF non-idle implies G phi, because there is an implicit, when you look at states and paths, there is an explicit quantification of all paths starting on a given state anyway. Sorry. So what I should have said here is and this is also what you have seen in new SMV, that in principle, from expressivity point of view, you are not adding much by adding this fairness constraint. Although, actually, if you look at model checking that is happening behind the scenes in new SMV, it is not done maybe exactly entirely in the way that maybe not me today, but Christoph on Friday in Friday tutorial is going to describe to you, which is by reduction to automata. I mean, you still have to reduce LTL formulas to automata, but then you also have to reduce model checking algorithms for CTL with fairness. But so returning to our example, if you want to say the same thing in CTL, you cannot write just those things, right? This is not part of CTL syntax. You always need to say either AG or EG. So you could try to rewrite this formula, well, the one on the slide as AG, AG, AF. I'm trying now to put some small spaces between those operators, so it looks a bit less messy. I'm not sure if it's more readable because of that. Or if you take this formula, which is actually the correct rendition, so I need to correct it in post-lecture slides. Then you would write it as AG, AF, non-idle, implies AG. Sorry. Are those two things the same? So forget even about this non-idle, replace it even, replace both non-idle and psi by propositional variables, right? So the question is, well, by now it's even hard to say that to write something like this or something like this, because strictly speaking, these two things are written in different syntax. And The satisfaction clause for this is defined in terms primarily of paths and only secondarily in terms of states. So maybe let's wait a little longer before we start comparing things. As I said, later today, I'm going to introduce a language which is covering both CTL and LTL, and then we can actually discuss this type of question about equivalence between formulas written LTL-ish syntax and CTL-ish syntax. So for timing, let us register simply that it does not seem to be the case. It seems to be slightly different formula, at least syntactically, and perhaps also on the semantic level. Actually, proofs that things are non-expressible in CTL are not so easy. It's easier to show that something is not expressible in LTL, but we will get to that. So for the time being, let's just think how we could extend the model checking algorithm for those new connectives. Again, I don't need to write all of those people. I don't need to write ACF, ACG, AC, psi. What else am I missing here? EC. AC X, because I have, for example, Boolean connectives and all the equivalences that I used to have before. So again, we just need to restrict to know how to do model checking for these connectives. And moreover, actually, we can assume that our formulas are preprocessed, so that ECX and ECU, so the messy one, the one with until, with binary connective, are reformulated in terms of ordinary U, ordinary EX, and this thing. So I'm claiming now that, for example, there exists a C fair path where phi until psi holds is the same as saying there exists a path, any path, no C here, where phi until psi and there exists a C fair path from now on holds. Similarly, I'm claiming that instead of saying there exists a C-fair path where phi is true in the next state, I can write this formula using ordinary EX by saying there exists ordinary path where phi holds in the next state, and in that same next state, I have that a C fair path begins, because this G top, of course, does not really bring anything, right? It's top is true everywhere anyway. So the only important part about this is the subscript here. Remember that because we are living in non-terminating world, ordinary EG top was useless. It was equivalent to top, because we always assume that you can make one more step. But this formula is actually not necessarily equivalent to top. Is it clear, or shall we do an example? So if there is no C-fair path starting from a given point, then this formula would fail. And actually, you could collapse the entire reasoning why those equivalences hold to one sentence, namely that a path is C-fair if all of its suffixes, those infinite parts remaining, are C-fair. Okay, I think I can close the door now. Is it clear? The difference here is that rather than saying something more restrictive, restricting this quantifier here, I'm not restricting the quantifier. Instead of checking for fairness of our path at the very beginning, at the point S where I'm evaluating the whole formula, I'm checking if phi until psi holds. If not, then this formula is false anyway. And even regardless of the question whether we are looking at CIFAR paths or because if you cannot find any path starting at S where phi until psi holds, and even more so, we cannot find any CIFAR path where phi until psi holds. So let's assume that there exists at least one path, not necessarily fair, where this thing holds. Then the only thing we need to check is whether we have, for example, when you're looking at unrestricted fairness, now I'm using psi here, so chi, which was using this fairness constraint or non-ideal or whatever, occurring infinitely often on this path. And to check this, I don't need to start at the very beginning. No matter how far in the path you go, you can start checking at this arbitrarily remote point in the future. The only thing that matters is that after this point, you should have infinitely many points too. So if you have infinitely many points satisfying, let's say, non-idle after P0, you also have infinitely many points satisfying non-idle after Pn for any finite n. And conversely, if starting from any Pn, you still can see in the future infinitely many points satisfying non-idle, then you can see them, of course, also starting from P0. So we are moving fairness check at the end of the satisfaction clause for until. This is the general idea. Is it clear what I'm saying here? Shall I write this proof down, or after watching the video again and going to the slides? And this works in even more obvious way for EC, for ECX, where you just look at the next state. So in this way, because we already know, hopefully we remember still from the previous lecture, how to do model checking for EC, sorry, not for EC, for ordinary EX and for ordinary EU. And we know how to do it in ordinary EG. We only need to extend the algorithm with ECG or equivalently with ACG, because we have negation. And you can do not ECG, not phi. Right. So if you remember how model checking for ordinary CTL was supposed to work, we had to be a bit careful and use suitable representation, of course, of our transition structure, let's say, as adjacency least, and do whichever algorithm. Did you do actually any algorithms regarding graph traversal, searching through the graph, finding components in the graph? This kind of material is covered in the algorithm class or not? Because I didn't want to spend too much time on this. This is not an algorithm class anyway, and this is not a complexity class. But on the other hand, if you haven't seen anything like this before, this kind of hangs in nowhere. So how much was covered in the algorithms class from this kind of things? What do you remember names of any algorithms dealing with graphs? Well, you must. Come on. This should be the major without course in undergraduate level. At least this, so this kind of names, for example, they are well familiar, right? No. Okay, maybe if I said it in German. Does anybody remember German? I mean, for example, backwards breath search. Oh. Well, then it means that I slightly misjudged the situation while preparing the lecture, because then it means that I should have spent much more time rather than talking about further extensions of CTL. It would make more sense to present an algorithm, including this complexity bound. I thought that I may be actually repeating basic information, but what can one do? No, honestly, you are not saying anything because you just don't want to speak out, or you really have not seen these kind of things at all?
We have seen breath
search. Okay.
I don't know what backwards.
Okay, so but at least you have seen breath search. And you have seen this word, Tarjan's algorithm, because this is the most important. No. Okay, well, if anybody is interested, I can simply, you can come to my office, or I can send you by email. I don't want to distribute this kind of material because it's copyrighted, for example, from Basic Algorithms book. And the Yelp algorithm itself is actually very simple. You can describe it in a few lines. It's the argument that this argument is really doing its job, and it's working only in linear time in the size of input model. That it takes several pages. But the idea is that given our structure in form of adjacency list, we take two copies of our model, one with, well, this one, yeah, if you have directed graph, but we have directed graph, so it matters in which direction we're traversing it. We have now forward version of this graph and backward version of this graph. And the algorithm for looking for strongly connected components, at least you remember this definition from the last lecture, right? Strongly connected component is the part of the graph where from any point to any other point there is a path. And maximal, of course, means that you cannot extend it any further. So you need to scan this doubled or duplicated adjacency list representation going backwards and forwards at the same time. And it can be done, you have to trust me then, in a time linear in the size of a model given as an adjacency list. That's the basic idea. So this, so far, so this is actually then, these are things that one should have said already in when discussing model checking for ordinary CTL. So far, there is nothing specific to this C. You could as well start with EG, and the same would be true. You need to start with psi and then keep deleting those points where psi is not true. So you'll end up with a graph consisting only of points where you have, which satisfy psi, maybe even not connected anymore. And then here, for example, this is maximal strong connected component, and this is maximal strong connected component. So it's like collection of balloons, well, maybe a given balloon can have more than one string attached to it. And now, of course, in order to check those fairness conditions, this is still, well, this is actually where the fairness conditions come into play. In order to check whether, so these are our paths, right? In a folded or collapsed form, represented as in the original form as cycles or balloons. And the infinity repeating part of the path is what is in this strongly connected bit, in the actual balloon rather than the string attached to it. So in order to check if a formula occurs infinitely more often on a given path, we need to, or fairness constant, we need to make sure that it occurs at least once inside the balloon, inside this strongly connected component. So this was the clause for the unrestricted fairness condition. So in order to check if this E with subscript GF phi G psi holds, this is a bit of monstrosity, right? Remember, this was our C, the fairness constraint, and this is the actual new modality that we have. We need, so we already know that these are all the points satisfying psi. Some of those points may be actually not seeing any strong connected component. So this one, for example, is useless. This is the beginning point of a path where at some point we have F, G, non-psi. So all these things will be killed. Only those which see those guys survive. And now, moreover, amongst those ones which are seeing a balloon, seeing a cycle, seeing a strongly connected component, you need to look for those points where phi is true somewhere. So in this case, it has to be true. This is a single point. You have infinitely repeating state. Phi needs to be true at the same point. And if you don't have a point like this in a balloon, then it means that even though you have a path where psi is true forever, it is still not fair. For the other fairness constraints, for example, for the strong fairness, G phi implies G phi chi. If you want to check now that E with subscript GF phi implies GF chi G psi is true, this is horrible, right? And this, but as I said, we will have better language fragments soon. For a very good reason, nobody wants to write this kind of nonsense. But from practical point of view, this is not the syntax in which you write it again. So as we remember in USMV, you just need to write another keyword rather than writing this as a part of formula. So now in order to check if there exists a path satisfying this strong fairness condition where psi is true everywhere, well, this is checking if psi is true everywhere is reduced to finding the strongly connected components. We have to also delete the strongly connected components where phi occurs, but chi does not. Because this is the only way in which the strong fairness condition could fail. If you have that phi occurs, then it means that you have G phi phi on all the balloons that are ending with this SCC. But if chi does not occur in a strong connected component inside the balloon itself, it means that at some point you have FG non-chi. Similarly, for the weak fairness constraint, this was the satisfaction clause that we work out. If you have that phi is true everywhere on a given suffix, it has to be the case that in every suffix you should be able to find at least one point where chi holds. So in order to check if EG restricted to these weakly fair paths holds, you need to delete all SCCs where phi holds everywhere, but psi nowhere. This is not a very convenient formulation. What would be more convenient to state is delete all CCCs where non-phi does not hold anywhere. So we are looking for those strongly connected components which have non-empty, which either have non-empty intersection with non-phi or, and then add some more. If they happen to have non-empty intersection with non-phi, then they also need to have non-empty intersection with psi. Well, as I said, this is the only thing that is important from new SMV point of view. We are only looking at the unrestricted fairness when checking the fairness keyword. And then we're finishing as before, so we need to find, again, by whichever method from the algorithm class you prefer, all this, you need to use some algorithm for reachability, so you need to find all points from which a fair SCC, a C fair psi SCC is reachable. So complexity, at least for unrestricted fairness, but nothing seems to change as for the other fairness condition, is still remains linear in the size of, so it's the number of connectives or subformulas of the input formula, number of constraints inside the number of conjuncts times two. So you always need to check if this implication antecedent and consequent, and both of them are given by CTL formulas in C, and times the size, number of nodes in our transition system, times number of pairs in its adjacency graph, in its adjacency list. You would use adjacency list rather than adjacency matrix. I guess. So, anyway, the only thing that matters is that you are still linear both in the size of the formula and in the size of the model. But we don't really like this syntax and semantics, do we? There should be a simpler language, simpler in design, not necessarily simpler from the point of view of model checking, where you add, let's say, just one clause where you can express all of those things without writing this stupid subscript or whatever. And one proposal that I want to show is very, very recent. It comes from actually a paper published in one of the leading computer science conferences this year by Gilardi and Van Hol. It's called FairCTL. And the idea is that instead of all those fairness constraints and all the new connectives like ECG, ECX, and ECU and whatnot, you return to ordinary CTL and replace unary, well, maybe I should have written EG psi, unary EG psi with binary EG. What does this, so remember what EG psi meant? It was there exists a path where psi is true everywhere. Now I have a different connective, E phi, or maybe let's say EG phi comma psi. I just wrote it in such a way to keep consistent with our notation for the until connective, but actually the way Gilardi and Falcone were writing this, this was. Was like this. So E phi G psi holds if for some path starting at S, phi holds at all points at this path, and psi holds at infinitely many points of it. So you can say it alternatively that there exists a path where phi holds everywhere under a psi constraint, or phi holds everywhere under psi fairness. The old unary EG phi is now, of course, expressible still as E phi holds everywhere under top fairness or under truth, so under the trivial condition. That's it. So we add new fairness modality, so to say. And of course, this connective directly expresses unconditional fairness. Instead of writing this monstrosity that we have here, which was mixing up CTL and LTL syntax, we write E subscript GF phi g. So instead of writing E subscript g f phi, back to the main formula g psi, we say there exists a path where psi holds everywhere under phi fairness. We can also do weak fairness. How? Is it obvious that we can do it? How would you express it? So we want to say that there exists a path where psi holds everywhere, and which is moreover fair in weakly fair in the sense that if it happens to have a suffix where phi is true everywhere, then it must be the case that chi occurs in every suffix that this path has. Well, that's a bit back and forward. But the good thing that if you look at this thing just as LTL formula, this is Boolean implication. And then we have all sorts of equivalences like this. Another one being, of course, non-phi or psi. So let's just think what in LTL, when you look, so when you don't look at states, but when you just look for paths satisfying this thing, we want to make sure that this thing holds. So because of the equivalence that I wrote here, this is, of course, equivalent to non fj phi or gf psi. And then you can push this negation through f, flipping it, and push this negation through g, flipping it. So this thing would be, again, g phi, gf non-phi, or gf psi. So you see now that there is something quite weak to this fairness. It's a disjunction, really, of two gf formulas. In order to satisfy disjunction, you need to satisfy one of the disjunct. And well, you satisfy this if you have infinitely many points where non-phi holds, and you satisfy this where you have infinitely many points where psi holds. So you should have infinitely many points of at least one of these kinds. And the important, what is also useful about this is that both of these formulas have start with G, so they are globally true, so to say. So, saying that psi is true everywhere at some path where this condition is satisfied is equivalent to saying that psi holds, either it is true that there is a path where psi holds everywhere and there are infinitely many points satisfying non-phi, or it is true that there exists a path where psi is true everywhere and there are infinitely many points satisfying chi. So that's doable. How do you express strong fairness in this language? Well, actually, to be honest, I'm not sure. They don't, and this is a very good question to think of, and there are more questions to think regarding this particular paper and this particular language. They don't say anything about model-checking algorithms, even though it was a computer science conference. They motivated it in much more theoretical way. They were talking about amalgamation, model completeness. They gave complete axiomatization and so on and so on, but they didn't touch the dirty issue of making sure that you are still close enough to nice low complexity of model checking of CTL or FCTL as opposed to CTLF, possibly. So there is no explicit argument in the paper that model checking for this language will still remain linear, not only in the size of input model, which is doable even for LTL, but also linear in the size of input formula. If you find this kind of algorithm, and moreover, if you want to play around with a code, either of new, our brilliant, sorry, I wrote it in the wrong way, new SMV or small new XMV, small letters, I will edit it in the slide. If you, given that we have the whole code unreadable as it is, accessible, we can, you can, of course, if you want to really understand what the hell is going on with this tool, you can actually, as soon as you find an algorithm, which would be in itself worthy of a good conference submission, you can furthermore extend it with, you can extend the tool or write your own model checker where this kind of formulas can be model checked. And we also should have some answer. And actually, this last question may be the easiest, by definitely much easier than those two things. We need to find the answer. Maybe we'll be even able to do it today, although I'm not sure about it. Whether a strong fairness can be expressed in this kind of extension as well. But this is still a rather restricted language. It still doesn't offer us and uniform perspective on path formulas and state formulas at the same time. And in order to compare LTL and CTL systematically, we need still something much more powerful. And this is this language, CTL star, proposed by Emerson and Clark. As I told you already quite a while ago, I think it was lecture at the end of October, this is a language which has explicit path formulas and explicit state formulas at the same time. Model checking is no longer polynomial in Psi, but this is because you incorporate already model checking for LTL, which is going to be discussed in detail by Christoph on Friday. I think that I missed one item that I added on the slide before the lecture. This, I probably did not compile it. Okay. So, yeah, what I wanted to say that is precisely what I said aloud, that you can actually, well, actually not precisely what I said aloud. It is not only that you inherit complexity bound from LTL itself, but you can largely reuse the model checking algorithm, which unfortunately is much more complicated, at least to describe for LTL, in order to produce model checking algorithm for the full language that I'm going to present to you right now, to CTL star. So how does the syntax of the language looks like? You have state formulas which look almost like state formulas of CTL that we have seen before, but instead of writing this EG, EF, EX, you just write E, and then, and actually for convenience, even though of course you have negation, so those two things can be mutually defined. I'm adding explicitly both existential quantifier over path formulas and universal quantifier over path formulas. So path formulas are just looking like path formulas or LTL, right? But instead of having just an atom here, you can write any state formula inside path formula. And again, you could, well, in case of path formulas, you know how to define F, you know how to define G, because remember that from LTL. As I said, I want, for convenience, I introduced things which are much well definable here. Ah, this is what I added it. I should have added it in the previous slide. The model checking for this language can be done by reduction to model checking, automata-based model checking algorithm for LTL. But first, let's see how the semantics actually looks like before we start talking about this kind of things. So for state formulas, maybe let's put both things on the same slide. So you see now that I'm having both MS and MPI. You remember that I was saying that at some point I may be willing to be able to say that a path for satisfies a path formula relatively to a given model. So you cannot just forget about all the points that are not on the present path. And this is precisely what is happening here. Because I have this recursive definition, I need to give clauses both for states and both for and for path formulas, and state formulas satisfied by states, path formulas are satisfied by paths. So for atoms, it is clear what is, given that we have this labeling function, it is clear what it means for an atom or a logical constant to hold at a given state. The clauses for negation and conjunction are again as usual. And now I'm saying that I should have also written corresponding clause for A if I put it as part of the language, sorry, I forgot it. So I'm saying now that a state satisfies E alpha if there exists a path beginning at our state, where, and now I'm giving this recursive definition, a path formula is true. So now remember that state formulas can double actually as path formulas. So when a state formula is taken as a path formula, just like in the case of, say, atoms in LTL, we're just looking at the first one on the path. So in particular, if we have a path formula, a state formula here, it means that we need to check this state formula as a path formula, but say checking it as a path formula means that you need to look at the beginning, which means going back to this point, right? So it's rather trivial then. So writing things like E idle, like Eric Idle from Monty Python, or A busy is stupid, right? It's the same as writing idle or busy. So at the first sight, it's not clear what is happening, right? Because this part looks exactly at almost exactly like what we were doing for LTL, and the upper part looks exactly at what like what we were doing for CTL, right? Where does the added expressivity come from? Assuming that there is an added expressivity. Well, first of all, is it clear that LTL is a fragment of our language? I mean, of course, it is a fragment in the sense that we have path formulas as explicit syntactic sort. Oh, well, let's keep for working out clauses for other connectives. So what are LTL formulas equivalent to? Well, they are subs. Now we want to look at LTL formulas as path formulas. Remember that we say that as state formulas, sorry. So we said that LTL formula are treated as predicate on state rather than predicate on paths. Means that all paths starting from a given state satisfy our LTL formula. And now we can say this explicitly, right? So we single out subset of the form A, and then you write path formulas given by this recursive grammar. Notice that I incorporated the relevant bits of state formulas. So instead of writing just a single phi here, I just write all the atom clauses and Boolean constructors. Now, what would CTL formulas be equivalent to? Well, you take subset of the state formulas given by those two recursive clauses. But if you look just at this bit, it looks exactly like what is happening before. It's just that you restrict state formulas, path formulas that can occur under path quantifiers quite dramatically. What are those restrictions? Well, first of all, you cannot write, unlike the full CTL star, in ordinary CTL, so you cannot write any Boolean combination of path formulas. So in our old EX phi is now written as EX phi, but let's make a convention that we can always forget about those brackets then, if you want. Well, this is exactly as it was written in case of CTL, EG phi, it's just EG phi. But before, you couldn't write things like, let's say, E phi BZ and G weighting or whatever. Does this look like important extension from the point of view of expressivity at least? Well, we will get there, but notice that this is not the only thing that is happening. The other thing that is happening is that I'm allowing, and this is actually, I can already jump ahead and tell you this. This is much more important. We are not nesting, path modalities inside of the other. I should have written path modalities rather than formulas. So you cannot write things like, in ordinary CTL, you cannot write things like E, F, X, G, B, Z, right? You could only write things of this form. And this is really where the most important way in which CTL star is extending CTL. So maybe let's begin with we have seen CTL, we have seen LTL as fragments of CTL star. Now, how about these various variants of fairness constraint? Well, now the C, you remember it was of the form some LTL modalities in front of a CTL formula, like GF. Phi, where phi is a CTL formula. Or maybe some LTL modalities in front of CTL formula in the antecedent, implying some LTL modalities in front of another CTL formula in the consequent. Now, this kind of thing is a legal CTL star path formula in our syntax, right? So, because now we can play this kind of tricks, we can translate the whole thing to, and because we are allowed to nest path modalities inside the other, we can translate, we can rewrite the formula with the fairness constraint as E of C and G phi. And remember, this was the only thing that we needed, right? ECX and ECU were expressive in terms of ordinary EX, ordinary EU, and this ECG thing. For CTLF, the new flavor of per CTL, where you just added this fair version of G, how would you express it in our language? In CTL star now? This was in CTLF, but now we are back to ordinary path modalities. So we have unary X, unary F, unary G, not binary G, and binary until. But we can nest path modalities inside another, and then we can form conjunctions of path formulas. So this is really the fragment of CTL star that we were looking at before. And the question whether CTLF can express entirety of FCTL is whether all possible combinations like this can be somehow reduced to combinations of this form. So now we have uniform framework in which we can compare different logics. Any gamma in the set consisting of LTL, CTLF, CTL, CTLF, and CTL star itself can be treated as subset of state formulas of CTL star. In case of, so almost all of those logics apart from LTL are explicitly written in terms of state formulas. In case of LTL, remember we identify path formulas of LTL with universal path quantifier in front of the old LTL formula. And now we can say what it means for one logic to be contained in another, or to maybe, rather than containment, something like refinement would be a better sign. So what it means for one logic, for logic gamma prime to refine gamma, it means that for each formula of lying in the fragment of CTL star corresponding to gamma, there exists a formula lying in the fragment of CTL star corresponding to gamma prime, which is explicitly equivalent to our old phi. We can also, in the same way, introduce phi not contained or not refining, gamma not contained or not refining gamma prime, meaning negation of this condition. That is, there exists phi such that for all psi, phi is not equivalent to psi. So this is what we need to find when we want to show that one logic, understood as fragment of our CTL star, is not contained in the other. And we could also, of course, write gamma subset not equal G prime if gamma is contained or in gamma prime, or equivalently, we can say gamma prime refines gamma, but not the other way around. So for every formula in gamma that exists, a formula in gamma prime, which is equivalent to it. But there is a formula in gamma prime such that no formula in gamma is equivalent to it. So there was two notions, three symbols now. Maybe I need to erase something. It's clear what all those three means? I mean, I just said that. I just want to make sure that You remember the explanation. So, can we show any containments or non-containments of this kind? Apart of course from the trivial ones like the fact that every logic is contained in itself, or those that we have already shown, that everything is contained in CTL star, and of course, let's say, CTL is obviously contained both in FCTL and CTLF. But for example, we don't know anything about the relationship. I mean, I was suggesting already that some containment may not hold between LTL and CTL, but I'm not sure if we've proved it formally. Or did we? Actually, I had a vacuum. I didn't watch the video. It's not on the slides, but it might have been something that I did already in the blackboard. Have we done this proof? So the question is, does there exist a CTL formula such that no LTL formula is equivalent to it? If we have done that, you'd remember. Other? Oh, by the way, the foreign student is not here, actually. I could speak German if my German was better. But maybe he's watching still videos. So. Right. This is actually the simplest of all the proofs. Even if I did not, if I have not done it in the lecture, you just need 2 points. And the very natural formula. Do you remember what was an example of a property that I say is something that we may want to express in CTL, but there is no obvious way, at least, of saying expressing it in LTL. So LTL had clear advantage over CTL when it came to properties like fairness, which were of biggest importance for us now. Does anybody remember if there was any kind type of formulas where CTL could have some advantage? So the distinguishing feature of CTL is that you can mix these path quantifiers inside the other. This is something where important difference should lay. So just saying AX, or just saying EX, or just saying EF, or just saying AG, maybe it's not enough. But maybe if you say something like AFG or EGAF, or there exists a path such that for some point, would exist a path such that for all point that other path. So we start evaluate this formula on one path. We have to move a bit, and we have to scan all the paths from a given point. And then after we reach a certain point state in the future, we need to deviate from this path and then start evaluating all the paths, or looking for at least one path starting from that new point. So this was type of properties like reachability, for example. One of them would be, I'm writing it, the atom as deadlock. It's a single atom, it's not eight atoms, D-A-E-D. So I'm writing it like this because this is the type of things that you want to find out of an in a transition system, whether it gets stuck at some point. So I'm asking here, and notice now that there is a small space here, that is it the case that, well, actually it should have been the other way around, or it should be non-deadlock, rather, to make it more sensible, let's agree. But okay, maybe there are contexts where you can also meaningfully check, not for the negation of this formula, but for the other itself. So I'm asking, is it the case that whichever path I take starting from a given point, and no matter how far I go on this path, there will be always another path starting from that new point, new state in future, on which, after sufficiently many steps, I can reach deadlock? This is clearly very CTL-ish thing. This is where you see the point of being able to combine these horrible two-letter combinations. Does it look like something that would be expressible in LTL? Well, of course, I'm very obviously trying to push you into saying no, and for a reason. So We have to have non-terminating. As I said, we need to have at least 2 points, which is reasonable to expect that with 1 point you won't be able to show, to find any counterexample. And because it's non-terminating, we need to have loops. And because we want to be problematic for LTL, we need to have more than one infinite path. So probably we need 2 loops, one in 1 point and one in the other point. So let's assume that here we are not deadlocked, but here we are deadlocked. Simplest possible setup, right? So, is our critical formula true here? Let's give names to this point. So let's call this point S0 and S1 very creatively. Maybe with different colors. So the question is now if we have that M as 0 forces AG EF deadlock. We have only 2 paths to check, right? When I'm saying for all paths, on every one of these 2 paths, so the one, well, sorry, no, we have infinitely many paths. Sorry. Because we have the option of, but only 2 meaningfully distinct types of them, right? So 1 meaningfully distinct types consists of the single path which keeps infinity looping at S0. We have already, this is what we were discussing, right? How many paths we have starting from a given point, but I probably don't make, I didn't discuss this kind of things, right? This was not discussed in the lecture. No, okay, good. So I'm not wasting even more time then. And I said that the other family of paths consists of infinitely many ones where you keep looping at S0, maybe 0 times, maybe n times. So you have prefix consisting of S0 and suffix consisting of S1. So clearly, we need to split all the whole, when you reason about all possible paths starting from S0, there are just 2 cases to consider. One when you look at this path, and another when you look at path which has S0 as prefix and S1 as suffix. Is it true on every one of 2 possible points of those two types of paths that there exists a path, possibly another path, not the same path on which we are looping now, or starting from the point at which we are now, which can be still S0 or maybe S1 if you already made a step. At some point in the future, where deadlock holds. This is true, right? You wouldn't see it in LTL. Well, we need to, I need to now give you a simple argument why you wouldn't see it in LTL, but in LTL, you cannot deviate from, once you choose a path, you cannot deviate from it. You have to forget about the whole rest of model. That's not how things work in CTL. So clear, yes. Now, assume now there exists a path formula alpha doing the same job. So now writing in our CTL star syntax, this thing is true. Even on the if, so A alpha is supposed to be equivalent to AG EF deadlock. Well, this means on all paths starting from an LTL path formula, right? So remember that in LTL path formulas, you cannot reuse complicated state formulas involving path quantifiers. You can only use propositional items and Boolean operators and LTL modalities. If it was the case that this formula is true here in this model, then we could consider M prime, which consists just of this bit. So consider now M prime, which is M restricted to S0, which means we have this model, S0, and we inherit the labeling, so here we have non-deadlock only. If this path formula preceded by universal quantifier was true here in this model, at this point, where you have more paths, it should be even easier to satisfy in this the same point at the restricted model, where you have less paths. If it was true that something calls for all paths starting at the zero at the bigger model, that it also must hold us at all paths starting from a zero in a smaller model. The point is that this formula cannot look now outside the path that that once was chosen. As alpha is LTL path, A LTL path formula, it cannot deviate from the path. Sorry that I'm writing it in such a sketchy way, but maybe actually writing in the natural language is easier to understand than writing it in symbols. And as there are less paths in, and now I can reuse my notation pi as zero, but now we're making explicit the model in which I am, right? In previously I was not writing a model as subscript done in pi m is zero. It would have to be true that m prime, and then this prime here is crucially important, of course. Maybe I should have called it in differently, n or something. It would have to be true that m prime as zero makes a alpha true. But of course, this formula is not true anymore here. In this new model, there are no points which are deadlocked at all. So it's even harder to satisfy this. Oh, that's bad. Let me just finish this slide. And actually, that was an even better inequality that I wanted to write. So I wanted to show that There are formulas which are expressible both in fair CTL and CTL with fairness constraint, which are neither expressible in ordinary CTL nor in LTL. And that's one example. But actually, instead of writing BZA superlibrium deadlock, then I could reuse the same labels even in the same graph. So in case of FCTL, we were writing this thing like this. So there exists a path where BZ occurs infinitely often, and this is how we were writing in CTLF. So maybe instead of deadlock, we can now call this thing BZ. And in the same way now, you can show that this formula is not expressible in LTL. The only difference is now that we have essential universal quantifier over paths, which, by the way, shows also that LTL is not closed under negation again. Again, I'm not sure if I show it already or not. But even if I did, this is yet another proof. For CTL, it's actually harder to show that this formula does not belong to pure CTL without either this or this. But this can be done. And yeah, sorry for keeping you longer. I thought that I will manage to finish all of this and start horror logics and semantics of imperative programming languages next time, because we want to move to another tool also in tutorials. I will try to wrap it up then and at least start a new portion of material next week. Any questions, comments? If no, then on Friday, as I said, you will see automata-based model checking algorithm for LTL. So you will need to first translate formula to generalized non-deterministic Bayesian automata, then you need to translate generalized non-deterministic Bayesian automata to non-deterministic Bayesian automaton, and then you will generate a product model out of it, and then, yeah. It is much more fun than the simple algorithms that I was describing today. Okay.